can get refresh my memory about चैतन्य मनोवृक्ष स्थापित येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदानं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुं प्रेक्षणां श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणरक्ता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च वाचाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यदेव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासादिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 topic relationship among devotees. The question can be asked, who is a devotee? Yes? Who is a devotee? How do you define it? You are all familiar with definition. Without definition there is no science, no technology. Correct? So who is a devotee? We must define the terms, no, before we one who serves Krishna. Yeah. Who is a student? One who studies. So who is a devotee? One who is devoted. One who serves, or one who is devoted to whom? To Krishna. To the Supreme Lord. That is a devotee. Student, in one sense, is one category. But still, are there differences or no? You can say everyone, is there a different categories of students? Or just you say, yes, he's a student, that's all. A child in the first standard, a student? Child in the 10th standard, student? BSc, BTech, student? PhD, student? So what is the age when one does first standard? 5 or 6 years old. What is the minimum age when one does PhD usually? Anything above 23, 24, maybe more. Sometimes much more. So, all these are students. So is there a difference or no difference? Are they the same or are they different? They are same and different. They are same because they are all studying something. They are students. They are studying under different teachers, under guides. Their main discipline is to study and learn to acquire knowledge. Whether in the first standard or whether at PhD, this basic principle is the same, isn't it? At the same time, there is also a difference. What is the difference? The level, there is a great difference. Can you even compare the first standard student to the PhD student? Suppose there is a PhD in mathematics who has just finished his thesis and is about to go for the Viva interview. And there is a first standard student who is just beginning first lessons on arithmetic. Is there a difference in level or no? So much difference. Both are studying mathematics. But what is the first in degree? So there is oneness, at the same time there is difference. So who is the devotee? This same question was asked to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by some devotees when they went to Puri. Specifically devotees from Srikhanda. Of course it's a big topic, but I will just summarize it without all the shlokas and everything. Just to give you the essence, because we have to get to our point, which is the relationship among devotees. Our main topic today is not who is a devotee, but relationship. But nevertheless, just briefly we must know. So when they asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is a devotee, he said, anyone who utters even once the name of Krishna is a devotee. So they said, alright, they went back. Next day they came again. They stayed for several months with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri. And when it was time to go back, then they came for Mahaprabhu's blessing. And again before they left, they said, last day they asked you, but we are still not clear. So, can you tell me, can you tell us, who is the Vaishnava, who is the devotee? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, he who always chants the name of Krishna is a devotee. Then alright. They went back. Next year they again came. This is the custom of these devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from Bengal and other places. They would all come during Chaturmasi. For 4 months they would stay in Jagannath Puri, the association of Mahaprabhu and his devotees. And then they would go back to their respective places. That was the kind of culture there. Even in village life, till some years back, the farmers would work for 5-6 months in a year, and 5-6 months they have spare time to do their devotional service. So life was nice. So in any case, they went back, and third time they came again. They stayed for some months with Mahaprabhu, and then they wanted to know again from Mahaprabhu, "We are still not clear. Please tell us, who is the devotee?" Then Mahaprabhu replied that he, by looking at whom one chants the name of Krishna, is a devotee. So Mahaprabhu gave three different definitions of devotee in three different years. Right? What was the first definition? Who utters the name of Krishna even once is a devotee. Second definition? He who is always chanting the name of Krishna is a devotee. Third definition? The devotee is one by seeing whom also one begins to automatically chant the name of Krishna. So what do these three different definition represent? The same stage or different stages? Different stages? Who is the highest and who is the lowest? The highest is the third category. Lowest is first category. At the same time, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's definition, all three are devotees. Just as by our definition, first standard as well as PhD, all are students. Similarly, the one who is chanting the name of Krishna even once with very little faith, very little knowledge, very little understanding, not much devotion, he is devotee. And the Paramhamsa, pure devotee of the Lord, on the highest platform of devotion, he is also devotee. Can you compare the two? The common point is Krishna. That both understand that Krishna is their worshipable object. So therefore, when we have relationships among devotees, the first thing that we may know is that there are differences. The commonality is that we are all servants of Krishna, we are all devotees of Krishna, and therefore we are all one. There is no material distinction here. No distinction of nationality, caste, creed, gender, economic status, social status, intellectual capability, other talents, nothing like that. It doesn't matter. Because being a devotee is a spiritual designation. It is not a material designation based upon the body. Other designations in this world are based upon identification of oneself with the body. Janasya mohoyam aham mameti. Aham and mama. I and mine. Based on the bodily concept of life. So on that platform, there are distinctions. Those designations are false. They are not true. But spiritual designations are true. What is our real spiritual designation? What did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teach us? Jivere Swaru Koi Krishna Nitya. That we are all eternal servants of Krishna. So this is our real designation. So being a devotee is a spiritual designation. We cannot do without designation. Designation must be there. But our constitutional designation, our position is that we are all devotees of Krishna. So in this world, different people are at different stages of spiritual evolution. And very rarely will someone come to devotional service. Very rarely. Only verses you can know, quote from Bhagavad Gita. Very good. Quote the full verse. Manushyanam, manushyanam, sahasreshu, kachit, yatati, siddhaye, yatatamati, siddhanam, kachit, nam, vyakti, tatpataha. What is the meaning of this verse? Manushyanam, sahasreshu, out of thousands of human beings, kachit, nam, vyakti, tatpataha. Hardly one knows or understands. Yatati Siddhaye, among many of those who endeavor for liberation, hardly, among many, many thousands of people, hardly one endeavors for perfection. Among those thousands of people who endeavor for perfection or liberation, hardly one knows the truth. And it is only a devotee who knows Krishna in truth. Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yasyashmi tatpataha. So only by bhakti that one can understand Krishna as he is. Bhaktya vananyaya shakya aham evam vidhojana. O Arjuna, you can know me as I am only by undivided devotional service. So devotee is one who knows Krishna, who loves Krishna, and who serves Krishna. But the difference in the level of devotees is depending on their level of faith, on their level of devotion, and so on. So fundamentally, we should know that devotees, amongst devotees there is unity. There is unity in the sense that all have one purpose. That is, to serve and love Krishna. But because all are not on the same platform, therefore, there are some devotees who are pure and serving and loving Krishna is everything in their life. And there are others who have just been the first standard and they are just beginning. So for them, they have other desires also. But nevertheless, all are devotees. So in one sense, a devotee, amongst all devotees, there is unity, because there is unity of purpose, there is unity of goal, and also, the more advanced you get, the more you start thinking that you are not advanced. In devotional life, one develops certain qualities, one likes humility, so on. The humility in the nature of a devotee makes that devotee think that he has no devotion. The more devotion he has, the more he thinks that he has no devotion. This is the paradox. Others can understand how exalted that person is, but not everybody can understand. Only those who know the science of devotion can understand. There is a saying in English, it takes one to know one. How do I know who is a top-class mathematician? If I call any somebody who is not even past the 6th standard, identify among these 10 people who is a top-class mathematician, will you be able to identify? Who can identify who is a top-class mathematician? Another top-class mathematician. Nobody else can. Even an ordinary student of mathematics cannot distinguish who is a top-class mathematician. He will say he is a top-class mathematician only because other top-class mathematicians have been saying so. And they say in his books. So therefore they say, yeah, he is also good. We all heard of Albert Einstein. Even before we understood anything about Albert Einstein's work, we were accepting him as a great scientist. Why? Because other great scientists were saying he is a great scientist. So similarly with the devotee. Who can understand whether somebody is an exalted devotee or not? The man in the street cannot understand. He has no conception of what is pure devotion. Pure devotion is a very intricate subject. It's a mystery, it's a puzzle. Rahasyam hetad uttamam bhakto simita kha chyoti. Krishna tells Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita that because you are my sakha, my friend and my devotee, therefore I am revealing the secret of the Gita to you. And therefore the secret will become knowable, easy to understand. In other words, what Lord Krishna is saying is that if you are not Krishna's devotee, this process of bhakti or devotional service in Bhagavad Dharma becomes very difficult to understand and know. The ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita is called what? The most confidential knowledge, Raj Vidya, the king of knowledge. Why is Bhagavad Gita so confidential? Imam Guhya Tamam. This knowledge is Guhya Tamam. There is Guhya, Guhya Tara, Guhya Tama. This is called Tara Tama. You know this? Good, better, best. Guhya means confidential. Guhya Tara means more confidential. Guhya Tamam means most confidential. So Krishna says that this essence of the Bhagavad Gita is the most confidential knowledge. Actually, the Bhagavad Gita has three sections, each of six chapters, totally 18 chapters. The first six chapters and the last six chapters are like covering for the middle six chapters. And they protect the middle six chapters. In the first six, there is Sankhya Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga. In the last six, there is Jnana Yoga and other things. But the middle six chapters, what does it have? Bhakti Yoga. So therefore the first six and the last six chapters, they cover and they protect the middle six chapters. Because the information contained in the middle six chapters is the most precious, relatively even, compared to the other sections of the Bhagavad Gita. Because it is very confidential. Why is it the most important section of the Bhagavad Gita? Because it deals directly with devotional service, with bhakti. Other sections talk about bhakti, but they give more emphasis to other discussions. Like 13-14 chapter, Krishna discusses the three modes of material nature in so much detail. Second chapter discusses so much about sense control, about the body and the soul, so many things, Sankhya. But the middle six chapters deal exclusively with bhakti, which is the most important part of the Gita and it is the essence of the Gita. So, why then is it called the most confidential knowledge? The Bhagavad Gita is a book that is available everywhere. In any library, in any bookshop that you go, you will find one copy of Bhagavad Gita, maybe by any author. There are hundreds of editions of Bhagavad Gita by different authors. But it's there. The Bhagavad Gita is freely available to anyone and everyone. You can pick up 9 chapters and start reading, then why is it confidential? You would expect that something confidential is that which cannot be easily understood, that which is not available easily to everyone. But here it's available. So why do you call it confidential? Why is it confidential? The book is available everywhere. Yes, even though the book is available, but the subject matter is not understandable by everybody in the correct way. Because they don't have the correct understanding of bhakti. The person who is writing the commentary himself is not a devotee. So he cannot present the devotional understanding. So he will give some other concocted understanding. So when you hear from a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada and the acharyas whom he has followed, then you can understand what is bhakti and what is bhakta, what is a devotee. So the pure devotees have to give us a guideline. The scriptures have to give us a guideline by which we can understand who is a devotee, who is not a devotee. Now I discussed the three definitions that Mahaprabhu gave for devotees, right? Some kind of guidance. Similarly, in the Bhagavatam 11th canto, there are some definitions. In the Upadeshamrita, there are some definitions. Like this, at different places in the scriptures, there are different definitions. We won't go into all that. But the point is, how to understand? Only a devotee can understand. The more advanced we are, the more we can understand if somebody else is advanced or not. Somebody may appear to be very advanced to the ordinary person, but a discriminating pure devotee can understand, oh, actually he's not advanced. This is some other conception of devotion that he has, which is not bona fide. The common man does not have that discrimination. So therefore you can see that there are so many kathakars and so many spiritual speakers who have large followings. But their followers cannot distinguish what is what. So a Vaishnava, another definition you can give of a Vaishnava is, or a devotee is, he knows who is who and what is what. So a devotee is one who knows who is who and what is what. He can distinguish a devotee from a non-devotee. He can distinguish an advanced devotee from a neophyte devotee. So the more advanced the devotee is, the more he thinks that he is not advanced, that he is fallen. This is a natural tendency of devotion. It brings about that feeling that you think disparagingly about yourself and you think highly about others. But the material conception of life is that you think highly about yourself and badly about others. So to the extent we are freed from this idea of our own advancement, to that extent our growth in devotion is facilitated. So pure devotees therefore can be understood by the signal or the indication of other pure devotees. Although that pure devotee doesn't think he is a pure devotee. So on one hand, that pure devotee will always be willing to offer respect to everyone. But because that pure devotee is offering respect to everyone, it doesn't mean that others should think him to be ordinary and on their level. This is a mistake that others have made. Because they thought Prabhupada was an ordinary person when he went. They could not distinguish. But only when he started getting a following and everything, then people started thinking, oh, he's something great, because he has a following. So they started analyzing by material consideration. The same person were not appreciating Prabhupada before, but when he got disciples and following, then he said, ah, yes, he's great. That means they did not have the discrimination, they did not have the knowledge to understand that Prabhupada was great even before he got his disciples. So why he has suddenly become great only after getting the following? Because we are thinking in material terms. Oh, somebody has got a big following, somebody is very famous, so he's great. But a pure devotee is great whether he has a following or not. Isn't it? Anyone who follows the supreme great is great. So these are considerations that devotees know, others do not know. So for a person who is entering the path of devotion, Haridas Thakur mentioned that we must distinguish between the Kanishadhikari, the Madhyamadhikari, the Uttamadhikari. It's all a question of development of faith, development of devotion. And it is not a distinction that is made on the platform of ego. It's not that a person says, oh, this is symptom of such and such, and I am better than this, therefore I am superior. Not like that. But in order of understanding how to deal with different devotees, we must know this. So Haridas Thakur says it is a very important aspect of Vaishnava relationship, since that is the topic you are asking for. We must know who is who and what is what, even in the community of devotees. So the first principle of the community of devotees is that we must offer respect to everyone. The Shastra states that a devotee offers respect even to an ant. So why not to another devotee? So certainly, we must offer respect to all devotees. We may be many, many, many years a devotee, but we must still offer respect even those who have become devotees are still there. That person may view us differently. But, oh, he has been there for so long. We should not view that person in this way. You follow this point? We should think always, here is a fortunate soul, very special soul. He has come here to Krishna's lotus feet and Krishna's shelter. So we must offer all respect. We should not take it, because I am much more senior. If you know, I don't need to regard him carefully or properly. No, we must deal with him as much as with great respect. Of course, when we see someone more exalted, then certainly we offer greater respect. That is natural and that is wanted. Haridas Thakur also says that we should do like that. So when we see somebody very exalted, then we must offer that greater respect. But the principle of giving respect and appreciating all the devotees is there for everyone, whether one is an advanced devotee or not. So Vaishnava relationship will be based on this fundamental principle, that all devotees are to be respected. When all living entities are to be respected, then how much more so it will be for devotees. If the dealings between devotees take place on this platform, then it is much more easy for having relationships. When the dealing of respect is lost, then the relationships deteriorate and degenerate. So this is the fundamental principle. And by nature, a Vaishnava is humble. Vaishnava is willing to offer respect to everybody. A Vaishnava doesn't think that, oh, this person is just a yesterday's devotee, I am so old and therefore I should get much more respect. Not like that. The Vaishnava is one who doesn't demand. The Vaishnava is one who is eager to give. The problem in this world is that people are seeking. They don't like to give. Everybody wants money, but nobody wants to give money. Everybody wants happiness, but nobody wants to give happiness. Everybody wants respect, but nobody wants to give respect for others. But when we realize that it is in giving that we receive much more. So culture means respect. Respect for one's status. There are differences, no doubt, we should distinguish. For example, when there is, we offer respect according to seniority. Seniority may be according to judged by various criteria. For example, by ashram. The ashram, somebody may be a sannyasi. That is considered the topmost ashram. So the other three ashrams will offer respect to that ashram because this person belongs to a higher ashram. He may be younger in age, he may be anything. But because he belongs to that ashram, so we offer respect. Another point is age. If there is somebody elderly in age, naturally the younger person offers respect. This is a natural way of this world. So age is another factor. Then there may be material position. If somebody is a king, king of the country or king of the land, naturally because Krishna has put him there as his representative to rule over, he must offer respect. He is there by Krishna's arrangement, by his own karma, but by Krishna's arrangement. He is representing Krishna, even if he is a crook. But he is there. So we offer respect because he has that position. Similarly, Varna. The Brahmanas are considered the highest Varna. The Shudras, the Vaishyas, the Kshatriyas, all respect the Brahmanas. They are supposed to respect each other also. The Brahmanas will also respect the Kshatriyas. But the other three Varnas will give more respect to the Brahmanas. Similarly, spiritual advancement. Shukadeva Goswami was only 16 years old. when he came to the place where Parikshit Maharaj was sitting waiting for death, and present at that place were many, many sages from all over the universe, many of them very, very ripe in age. And in that assembly were also Vyasadeva, who is the father and guru of Shukadeva, and there was also Vyasadeva's father, Narad Muni. Such senior personalities were there. But because the assembly considered Shukadeva Goswami to be most realized in devotional knowledge to the place him of the Vyasa, he used to speak Bhagavatam. So everybody sat and heard Bhagavatam from Shukadeva Goswami. So like this, there are differences. Somebody gets more respect, somebody gets less respect according to the status of different things like age or devotional advancement, renunciation, so many things, position, varna, ashram. You see, Vedic culture is based on this point. And when society loses this basic principle, then all relationships are broken. The easiest way to break a relationship is to move the focus away from respect and take it to enjoyment. You see, in earlier days, marriages would last so long. There may be trouble, but still they would respect each other, they would respect the institution, they would respect the culture, and they would carry on. But now, because the principle of relationships is enjoyment, the moment that enjoyment and sense gratification is interfered, the relationship breaks down. It is not based on mutual respect or respect for the culture. So therefore, for relationships to succeed and to really become fruitful, they must be based on this understanding. I just mentioned that relationships must be based on respect. But respect must be based on what? Must be based on proper Krishna consciousness, on proper Krishna conscious understanding, and on practice of devotional life. So it is not simply some sentimental respect we offer to everyone. It should be done with true understanding. So there is equality of vision on the spiritual platform, as Krishna says, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavirastini Shuni Charivarsha Parthetya Pandita Samadarshana. This equality of vision is on the platform of the soul, where the learned Brahmana, the learned sage, sees everyone, whether a Brahmana or a horse or a cow or a dog or an elephant or a dog eater or anybody, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Shudra, Vaishya, everyone he sees equally, because he sees that there is a spirit soul in each of these bodies, and the spirit soul is being accompanied by the Paramatma, the super soul. So there is unity on the spiritual platform, but still you will make a distinction. When there is a monkey next by, you just sitting close by, then you will be a little so cautious. Maybe a human being is sitting, you won't be so cautious. So even though you may know that he is a spirit soul, but still at the practical level, there are differences in dealing. Similarly, even as devotees, we respect everyone, but we should also know that there are differences in dealing. One time, there was one sannyasi and he required some help. So one of our devotees was sent there somehow to help him. But he was a very, very new devotee. He didn't know much about devotional etiquette and how to do things, who is what. He couldn't understand who is more advanced, and he had no understanding. So he was dealing with him like an ordinary. He was given respect, but it was not properly done. It did not create a very nice situation there. So even we must understand devotional service before we know we can serve others. So when this understanding is clear, then our relationships become very nice. There are nice instructions of Narad Muni, the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. on how we should deal with others in general. Generally it is seen that for someone who is superior to us in some way, we become envious and therefore we try to criticize that person. When someone is our peer, equal to us, we try to boast of our activity to show that we are something. And when someone who is at a lower level than us, we try to deride him. The Narad Muni explains these three things in the seventh canto. And he says a living being must not do this, he must do the opposite. So to those who have superior, who are superior in some or many respects, should offer respect, should not become envious, knowing that those, that superiority is coming by Krishna's grace upon that particular person. We should not become envious of that person. If you are becoming envious of that person, we are envious because of those qualities, and those qualities are Krishna's qualities, therefore we are becoming envious of Krishna. And that is a great hindrance in our devotional life. So we should offer all respect. And for those who are our peers, the tendency is to show, well, actually I have done something very nice which you could not do. So that can be avoided. One must strike friendship. And to those who are lesser than us in some respect, one should give affection. One should show concern. That is the formula that Narad Muni is giving in the seventh canto of the Bhagavata. And also, in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, the nine Yogendras are explaining Prema, Maitri, Kripopeksha. These four types of dealings are there. Ishvare tat adhineshu. For Ishvara, for those who are tat adhina, who are surrendered unto him, for those who are not envious, and for those who are envious, there are different types of feelings. For those who are for the Supreme Lord, there should be prema. We should try to develop love for the Supreme Lord. Ishvare, the word prema is connected to that. Tat adhineshu, the word connected to that is maitri. One should have friendship with those who are devotees of the Lord. Balisheshu dvishat sucha. Balisheshu means those who are innocent, those who don't know anything. Then we should have kripa, we should have some kindness, compassion on them. Vishattu means those who are envious, those who are ignorant. What should we do? Upeksha. We should be indifferent to them, we should ignore them. In other words, the Bhagavatam says that we should have different types of dealings with different categories of entities. With the Supreme Lord, we should have love. With the devotees of the Lord, we should have very warm and respectful friendship. With those who are innocent and ignorant, we should be kind and compassionate. And for those who are envious of the path of devotion, we should be indifferent. Upeksha. We should not consider them, we should avoid them. So amongst devotees, therefore, the principle is of friendship. But this friendship should be not contaminated by envy, not contaminated by sense of competition, or by any selfish interest. So this should be the kind of relationship amongst devotees. In this friendship, there may be gradations. Like when a son grows up, Janaki says that the father must treat him like a friend, not a son. So although there is friendship, but still there is a difference, no? The son may have his own classmates as his friends. They are also friends. And a grown up son also is friendly with his father. Because the father understands now he is grown up, so it's friendship. But between the two kinds of friendship there is a difference. So also amongst devotees, this kind of friendship should be there. We must have friendship, but yet recognize that there are gradations of that friendship, where the respect must flow, where the love must flow. That is an important thing for us to recognize. So then, what is the foundation for our relationship amongst devotees? Respect and proper understanding of the science of devotional service. Simple respect is not sufficient. Now we must also understand the science of devotional service. Then it will give our respect a proper foundation. So we must know what is Krishna consciousness. What is a devotee? And then we must practice it. And then we have respect, it is a perfect combination. Okay? So now you can all summarize some of the points. Such relationships will be very nourishing. It will be very conducive to the development of our Krishna consciousness. And it will become very powerful. Yeah. So you can summarize with some of the points. One by one, any of the points you have. What are some of the main points you learned in the class today? Who says in the sense there are three types of devotees? Not exactly. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked who is the devotee, he gave three different answers in three different years. Isn't it? So what was the first one? Whoever chants the name of Krishna even once is a devotee. The next definition? Who always chants the name of Krishna is a devotee. Third definition? By seeing whom one automatically starts chanting the name of Krishna, he is a devotee. These are three different understandings of devotee given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at different times, and all three are correct, but they only represent different stages of advancement of devotee. That's another point that we discussed, that to understand whether somebody is advanced or not, it needs another advanced person to judge. We cannot judge ourselves, because we will judge by wrong criteria. Some PhD dissertation on mathematics is there and you show to some 7th standard students, and you decide whether this dissertation, PhD thesis is bona fide or not. What will that poor boy, 7th standard, be able to do? Can he understand whether it is bona fide thesis or not? He cannot say. But people make the sentimental thing, oh, that is such a good speaker, he is a pure devotee, he is a great devotee of the Lord. So that is how many of the people in the public, they get that following. Because people glorify on the basis of some sentiment, mundane sentiment. Sentiment is required. But sentiment without proper spiritual knowledge becomes mundane. So what else? To a superior personality, yes, you must respect and then you receive love in return. You offer respect and you receive love. To the same level you maintain friendship, very warm friendship. To those who are lower than us in some degree, we give some kindness. That's a different definition. But that is right. What else? Say it loudly. Bhagavad Gita is very confidential because it can be understood only by devotees. Although the book is available freely, but not everybody understands. It's only when we hear from a devotee that we can understand. Yes, what else? Thousands of human beings, hardly one understands the truth of Krishna. Among thousands of people, hardly one endeavors for perfection. Among those, thousands of those who endeavor for perfection, hardly one understands Krishna in truth. That means, amongst the human population, there are very few who go on the spiritual path. And amongst all those on the spiritual path, very few really understand Krishna in truth. What else? Just as there is oneness and difference between a first standard student and a PhD student, similarly there are differences among devotees. Yes, the more devotion one has, the more one thinks one doesn't have. That is the paradox. And the less one has, one thinks one has. Bhakti yoga is better than the other forms of yoga. What are the other yogas? Karma yoga, Jnana yoga, Ashtanga yoga, and so on. What else? The relationship must be based on respect, which in turn must be based on Krishna consciousness. Then these relationships will flower. Friendship. The love for the Supreme Lord, friendship with the devotees, compassion for the innocent, and indifference to whom? The envious people. That should be how we deal. Anything else? Something selfish to gain from a relationship, then that relationship will be that much less stable. It will not last. The more selfless the relationship is, the more stronger it will become. Isn't it? If you are having a relationship with somebody, with what can I get out of this person? Materially, I mean. Then that relationship is bound to cause pain. But if it is based on a selflessness, devotion, then that relationship is very strong. productive, it will be very helpful to us. So, amongst our devotees also, we must try to develop such kind of relationship. No, when I say selfish, I mean materially selfish. Not spiritually, when you seek your own spiritual welfare, that is one thing. You are seeking the association of devotees for your own spiritual advancement, that is all right. But we should not introduce material concepts into spiritual concepts. Like, yes, I am doing for my advancement, but I don't want him to advance as much as I want me to advance. So I will interrupt his advancement so that I can advance more. That kind of selfishness is bad. But if we have a selfishness, I want to grow in my Krishna consciousness, but I also want him to grow. In fact, I want him to grow more. I want him to become more pure, more better servant of Krishna. Right? What is undivided devotion? Devotion that is not divided. That is, it is not, yes, you can have devotion for this, devotion for that. I have little devotion for Krishna, then I have little devotion for my money, then I have little devotion for the TV, then I have little devotion for some other cricket. That is divided devotion. I have some devotion for Krishna is there. Not denying that. But side by side there are other competitors also for Krishna. But undivided devotion means Mam Ekam Sharanam Raja. Ekam Sharanam. Only Krishna. Because ultimately when we desire liberation, our understanding of liberation is that we should become pure devotees and be situated in our constitutional position. That is Mahaprabhu's definition of liberation. So that's fine. Or even if you want to go back to Godhead, then you want to go back so that we can serve Krishna. So that's alright, because it is not too contradictory. A desire, because even though I go there, I am going there to serve Krishna. But because even in that desire there is some element of the fact that I want to get free from all this misery. But it is still not the highest platform. It is bona fide, but it is not the very highest platform. The highest platform is when I don't even care for my own misery. I am willing to stay in any situation provided the Lord is pleased. If it is facilitating my service to the Lord, then I will do that. That is the higher concept that comes from pure devotion. But still, it is not wrong for us now to think that yes, I should get out of this material world. Birth, death, old age, disease, yes, I should go. But at the same time, we should know how the advanced devotees think. How do we know whether Krishna is pleased with us or not? If we are following Krishna's instructions, Krishna is pleased with us. If the devotees are pleased with us, Krishna is pleased with us. Fine, Krishna sees the effort. Krishna is also seeing your circumstances. Krishna's exam papers are different for each person. you had sat for your GEE or GATE or whatever it was. Same paper for thousands of students, isn't it? But do you ever have lakhs of students sitting and each one has a separate question paper? And Krishna is such an examiner, he can give a separate paper for each and every living entity. Perfect marks, no calculation error, no mistakes in checking the paper. Okay? Based on the lecture now. How do you got Himanshu's question? Himanshu's question is that we are new devotees. And now those who come after us, they are even more new than us. How should we deal with them? So based on the lecture, please tell now who will answer. If they are much more newer than you, that means you must show kindness to them by giving them Krishna consciousness, by encouraging them in their Krishna consciousness. At the same time, you must offer them affection, you must offer them respect appropriately. Offering respect appropriately means that you know, not that somebody has just come to Krishna consciousness, first day is coming, and you go and offer full dandavat pranam to them because they have to offer respect. Not necessarily like that. Respect is expressed differently to different people. Although the underlying principle is the same. When you're doing dandavat to Krishna or to Prabhupada, what should you pray? Well, you should chant the mantra. To Prabhupada, when you offer prayer, you should chant his pranam mantra. When you offer to Krishna also you can chant, and then you chant the Panchatattva mantra, or you chant Hare Krishna Maha mantra, or you simply pray to Krishna, you chant some mantra glorifying Krishna. Yes, because he was in Chandan. In the evening or in the morning? Evening, because he is draped with Chandan. So naturally, if you are with Chandan, how you will look? You will not look as before. But still, Lord is looking beautiful in a different way. Looks a little different because you are accustomed to seeing him in a certain way. My spectacles, they're lying on the table, and you come and see, oh, these are Prabhupada's spectacles. You see my spectacles and you remember me. So it's just a pair of spectacles. But because it belongs to me and you see the connection, when you see the spectacle, you think of me. A mother will see some toy of the child and immediately remember the child. So like that, this whole creation is Krishna's energy. So you look at anything, you think, oh, this is Krishna's flower. It's Krishna's water. It's Krishna's arrangement. It's Krishna's sun. Krishna's moon. Krishna's light. Krishna's tsunami. Krishna's storm. Okay? So you're all about to leave now? What time do you have to leave? Huh? what time? 8 o'clock in the morning. Night, tomorrow night. Something about the farm project you want to know. Well, that is a little different kind of project than the usual. It is not a usual, there is a city temple, it is flourishing. But this is a project that is 40 kilometers away from the city. So it is not like usual project. It is a concept that Prabhupada has talked about many times, and he really wanted such projects to also take place in addition to the regular city-based temples and to the regular services like book distribution and so on. He also wanted such projects which are self-sufficient farm community projects. The idea is you live very simply, you earn your livelihood by very simple means in harmony with Krishna's creation. Decrease the complexity of your life, make your economics and sociology very simple, make your lifestyle very simple, so that you can save time, energy, etc. for chanting Hare Krishna and serving Krishna. Simple living, Hare thinking. That is the principle based on which these self-sufficient farm communities were spoken about by Prabhupada. So this project is also in pursuance of that desire of Prabhupada. And there the devotees are living very, very simply. Very simply. There is no toilet there also. They go into the temple for toilet. And they cook their own food on chula and such things. They grow their own food, at least substantially. They have now started to make some cloth. They have started to make some paper. They have started to crush the oil seeds and make their own oil. They are also building their own houses out of natural materials like stone, mud, wood and so on, bamboo, such things. They are making their own mortar, chuna, not buying cement from the factory. Very powerful mortar. There is no use of modern gadgets there. No products of modern technology. In this particular project, although no electricity at all. Zero. Which is a great blessing. So it is very nice life. Hard work. Very, very beautiful life. The devotees are becoming very blissful because of this kind of life. They are very simple temple, not some grand structure. Room, the altar is also very simple, made of mud and stone. All the decoration paintings are also from some natural material they have made. So they are learning survival. They are now slowly getting some skills. But still it will take a long time. And I've given some project. I told them about it. One project I had given limit, no? Was to have some natural clock to tell time without using modern technology. Natural clock by which you can tell time, not using battery, not using electricity, not using any products of modern industrial civilization. You may calibrate it with use of a modern clock, but once calibrated, then it should not require any technology, modern technology. because we are trying to be free from, in that project at least, trying to be free from all products of modern civilization, modern industrial civilization. Of course, it will take a long time. At least if we 75-80% achieve, it will be an achievement. For example, spectacles. Modern. I think if time is not come, we will have some bamboo sticks and some glass. It will not happen. It will take some time. Let us call it. It may be a hand glass, or it may be anything. Different methods have to be there. So like this, we have to learn to depend on nature. Live a very simple life. And chant Hare Krishna. We have Goshala there also. Definitely. Otherwise, how they will survive? How they will eat? Yes, very much. No fertilizer, no pesticide, no chemical. Definitely, Goshala is there. Okay? But now you can just remain in IIT Kanpur and become nice, strong devotees, and then let us see. Perhaps sometime in future we can see. For those who are really interested to see, then maybe one day you can go on some trips and you can pray with them. They want to know about the farm project. Maybe someday, or some of you can be considered. So yesterday you heard from Vaishnava Prabhu, today you heard. So tomorrow also you will hear? Right. It will benefit. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Krishna.